Okay, for many of you, the holiday weekend starts really early tomorrow, and this is our programming schedule for you. Of course, we'll have our live program Friday into Saturday morning for you, and then on Saturday, Ian will be here. I'll be on Sunday, plus we'll have our emerging artists. Richard C. Hoagland will be joining us for the first couple hours on Sunday night as we talk about the situation in the Gulf. And then James Von Prague joins us as we talk about the afterlife. That'll be on Sunday. Monday is the legal holiday, but we'll be here for you, too. We'll have a live program Monday night as well, and then we'll get you going into the rest of the week on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, let's take our phone calls with Jonathan Emord on Coast to Coast AM. Jonathan, have we had an FDA commissioner that you think has been pretty good, pretty fair?
No.
Simple as that.
Arthur B. Hayes in the Reagan years was pretty good, but ultimately it's just a disaster over there.
There's no way we can fix it, is there?
No, there really isn't. We have to get rid of the power that agency has. It regulates over a quarter of the American marketplace, and it really is doing a terrible job.
All right, let's go to the phones. You ready? We'll pick it up by going to Joe in Abilene, Texas, east of the Rockies. Hey, Joe, welcome to the show.
Well, that was fast. Jonathan, you got a real fan down here. You're quite a hero. Vietnam, Agent Orange, asthma, COPD, violent, slow-growing lung infection. Started with doxycycline, each 1 to 2 week protocol. Amoxicillin, nothing. Gadofloxacin, the stuff started turning colors, the cough up, that is. From yellow to green, Levaquin, nothing, azithromycin, then azithromycin doubles, then Cipro, then the famous or infamous K-Tech doubles. And thank goodness, 2 weeks later, it was black boxed and you lose your liver or you need a box and a flag, as you mentioned. I was sitting here coughing up blood on the edge of my bed and threw in a little item that you're probably very familiar with, that the bacteria seemed to never develop a resistance to. And within an hour and a half, I coughed it up, got rid of it, took another dose in my nebulizer, and I'm fine and still walking the earth to this day.
Jeez.
You're doing noble work.
Well, thank you so much for that.
And you probably know what it is.
This is a man who put his life on the line for his country. And in return, he's saddled with this, and his country would rather ignore him rather than accept the reality of the condition that he has. There are too many people who are suffering from the same problem, and it's about time the government accepted responsibility for it.
Same with the Gulf War syndrome.
Yes. You know, they use these chemicals over there, and they have harmed American soldiers. These soldiers would put their lives on the line if you told them in advance that they would suffer these things. They probably would gladly accept it, but they didn't reveal the information. These soldiers went into battle and they suffered these things, and a grateful country should take care of them and should do whatever is necessary and stop denying that the problems exist.
If you were allowed to fix one thing about the FDA, just one, no litigation, you just go in there, change it, it's done, what would that be?
Stop denying kids with cancer access to experimental drugs. Don't make them go through hoops. Give them the right and their parents the right to determine the best way to treat their kids with their doctors and stay out of the way. That would be it's horrific what they're doing. Never should the government be in a position of ever second-guessing the judgment of a parent and a doctor about the care of a dying child.
What do most of the parents say? What do you hear, Jonathan?
Oh, my goodness. They can't believe that it's happening in this country. They say, look, I cannot believe that I can't get a treatment that may save my son because the federal government's standing in the way. I can't believe it. I can't believe that these people have any soul or heart to them. How can they possibly do this to me? And I just don't understand myself. I asked Dr. Delap when he was the head of that division. I said, how can you possibly live with yourself? How can you do this? I would resign rather than put myself in the position of telling these parents that they can't try to save their children. You don't have the answers, and you admit that. But you tell them that they can't go look for the answers? What's wrong with you? Why don't you quit? How can you possibly live with yourself? You apparently had no problem. No problem with it. Now, where is the heart in a human being like that?
Teflon people, huh?
They are. They're despicable. I wonder, and I, as I asked him, I said, what would you do if your own child was in this situation? And I didn't get a response.
No, of course not. Of course not. Let's go to JP, Livingston, Montana, west of the Rockies. You're up with us. Hey, JP, thanks for calling.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Jonathan? I'll tell you, this is pretty ironic on the topic tonight. Today, I just found out that there's a product, and if you don't want me to tell your name, I won't. It's a organic tea that has been approved by the USDA and the FDA that they have just, it's been on the market for 3 years. They just banned it, and the local stores and convenience stores have had to take it off. Now, I have been using it for 6 months for my gout.
What kind of tea is it? What's the general name of it?
Kombucha tea.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I've heard of it.
And it's made by a company in California.
They're taking it off the market now?
They took it off the market because apparently it contains a 0.005% alcohol.
Have you heard of this one, Jonathan?
I haven't, but I'm familiar with kombucha tea, but I'm not familiar with this specific case.
Yeah.
And it's perfect for my gout, and they're making me sit here. And ironically, guess what? I have gout today.
I wonder if you can get it online, JP. What do you think? Bypass. Can you do that sometimes, Jonathan? Or
well, you can. The problem, of course, with this, as in many instances we discuss, is that, you know, this is regulatory overkill. I mean, my goodness, this is tea. Where is the national tragedy if someone drinks tea for their gout? I mean, can you tell me how that's going to adversely affect our entire country? Why the federal government should bring its full weight and force down upon these people and take the product off the market? It doesn't make any sense. And yet that's what they're about. That's what they do. I represent over 450 different companies in the supplement area, and every day I deal with this nonsense. I just constantly vexed by why is the FDA expending money on this when there are so many other things that are actually killing people and hurting people?
Okay, next up we go to Knoxville, Tennessee. First-time caller, Ken, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ken.
Yes, George, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
What I called you about, George, my wife is very sick. She went from 135 pounds down to 95 pounds in about 4 months. And she's had a lot of tests, MRIs and CAT scans and ultrasounds. And they found a spot on her pancreas, a spot on her kidney, and a dark mass on the bottom of her lungs. But they don't know why she's losing weight. And she takes about 7 prescriptions. And I'd like to put in a prayer request for her, if you don't mind. And Jonathan, is it okay if I send you email with a list of the medicines that she's taking?
Sure, go right ahead. Well, first, let me say that I'm most pleased to pray for her and will. And I also would recommend to you Dr. Charles B. Simone. I love that man. He kept my mother alive. She had chronic lymphocytic leukemia. He kept her alive. She was supposed to die within 5 years of diagnosis. She just died a short time ago, but she lived to be 83. She was diagnosed when she was 55. And it's all because of his really extraordinary talent in managing the disease and using an integrative medicine approach. So I'm a big fan of his, and I'd strongly, when you shoot me your email, I'll send you back his contact information.
Great, Ken, and we'll put her on the prayer list. And also, if you want to contact Dr. Robin Falkov at healthfreedomrights.com, you can email her too. She'd be more than happy to help out as much as she can. By the way, I'm told the kombucha was not an FDA, but it was Whole Foods pulled it off their shelves because of the alcohol content. It's not an FDA pull-off, but it's a Whole Foods market recall. They're the ones pulling it. So I would assume you'd still be able to buy it.
Well, thanks for that. I'm sorry I maligned the FDA in this case, but
Shame. Let us slap your hand.
Yes, they richly deserve the maligning, so I won't take it back entirely.
Next up, we go to Blair. Blair is in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Blair, go ahead.
Hi, George and Orion. Thanks again for helping to bring truth. I also have lost a wife and a mother to cancer.
I'm sorry to hear
And that. Jonathan Emort, you are to be complimented and hopefully financially supported for having integrity and courage at a time when everybody seems to be running and hiding. And it's ironic that the science of pharmacology started with the seeds and herbs and mort and piston and has devolved into the mess it's in now. My question to you is that I've been told that some of the recent bills passed by Congress and signed into law contained a series of new departments under Homeland Security, one of which is a new Bureau for Public Protection with the power to enforce Codex Alimentarius, which I think you probably know this because you mentioned it also, that over in Europe it's caused all kind of havoc. It's caused contentions and hardships, and the health food industry has really been suppressed. Are you aware of that? Is it true? Is there anything we can do about it?
Well, the Codex Alimentarius and its effect upon the European states and actually states around the world in the United States, that is a subject well addressed in my book, Global Censorship of Health Information. But I can tell you this, even though it's not overt in that the Codex Alimentarius and harmonization with the European regulations is to be affected in the law, it's not overt. It is nevertheless the objective of the public health agencies to achieve that harmonization. And the standards, as I mentioned before, which arise out of the Codex Alimentarius, which involve this precautionary principle and the shifting of the burden of proof, that is already underway in this country. So while you're correct in that this is happening, it doesn't depend upon any legislation. This is happening because the bureaucrats within the agency are interpreting existing laws to bring about as much of a harmonization as possible.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Next up, we go to Josie in Richmond, Virginia on the wildcard line. Go ahead, Josie.
Hi, y'all. I have several questions. One is, can we get our attorneys general in our states maybe to put this question to him, whether they could go on our 10th Amendment right not to have a government do what they're going to do? Our attorney general is already going against them for trying to make us buy health care if we don't want to buy health care. And another question I have is about the fact, and you may want to, this may help you in your quest, Jonathan, if you could remember that when they put fluorides in the water without our consent, that's like practicing medicine without a license. And George, I'm remembering that from a previous program with Mr. Connett and another man who was at fluoridealert.com. Remember, he was on your show?
Yes, absolutely.
They were wonderful. And and they have all these new studies on how it's so bad for the joints and bad for the the IQs and people and so on. So why are we wanting to take fluoride in our systems every time we go out to eat somewhere and order an iced tea? It's all made with regular tap water. So there we are. So I was wondering if that wouldn't help you in your great tilt against this huge windmill. And by the way, I've been 20 years going against and raving against the FDA and want to get rid of them altogether. I don't know why they're there. They're costing us too much money in our taxes.
Well, I think you're right on target. Mandatory fortification of foods and alteration in the water supply by the government, both federal and state governments, is an outrage because it deprives people of freedom. It deprives you of the freedom not to have fluoridated water. It's operating. You know, they put metal filings in cereal to cause it to be iron fortified. This is an outrage. We should not have any mandatory system of fortification. We shouldn't have a voluntary system that gives economic benefits to parties if they do fortify. We need a system that leaves these forces to the marketplace and allows people to make ultimate decisions. As far as this, the attorneys general are concerned, I think it's fantastic that 35, I think, have sued the federal government for the health care bill. I represent the United States Citizens Association in a suit in Akron, Ohio, federal court there, challenging the individual mandate in the Obama health care bill. And we're raising constitutional arguments, First Amendment, freedom of association, right of privacy, and Fifth Amendment liberty right arguments against that whole mess.
If you were to write that bill, Jonathan, and just broadly give me a perspective, how would you approach it? Would you approach it?
Well, I believe in a marketplace approach to this problem. I think that the reason why medical care is in such dire straits in this country is that we have too much insurance overlording of prescription practices and services. So what I want is a patient-centric system. And what I would do is, first of all, the number of uninsured is grossly exaggerated. It's not 42 million. At best, it's around 13 million. And, you know, if you paid people directly subsidies for insurance, those 13 million, without any of this nonsense of creating this massive new bureaucracy that's going to destroy the quality of medical care, you'd be able to enable them to afford that at a fraction of the cost of this monstrosity, and without creating this massive new bureaucracy that's going to make the Medicare system, which I've called mediocre care, universal. And, you want your doctor to care more about you than he does about insurance managers' opinion about the care being given. You want him to exercise independent professional judgment. You don't want him to have to pick up the phone, call the clerk at the insurance company, and ask whether or not it's okay that you receive a particular service or drug.
Well, that's true. Good point. Let's go to Sheridan, Wyoming. It's John's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, John, thank you for holding.
Thank you, George. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Let me give you a quick story to verify what Jonathan mentioned earlier in the program. When I was living in Houston from 1988 to 1989, I was working in a clerical job for the U.S. Marshals Service back when the federal government was prosecuting and persecuting Dr. Brzezinski. And what happened was, they were prosecuting him not because he was killing his patients. No, they were prosecuting him because he wasn't using FDA-approved methods to cure his patients. He even he showed up in court with a young man who was 17 years old at the time, but when that young man was 4, was told to go home and die because the chemo doctors couldn't do anything more for him. And so here he was 13 years later in cancer-free, thanks to Dr. Brzezinski. And Dr. Brzezinski showed up at the federal trial with a number, I mean dozens of his patients who had been cured by him, who had been told by these chemo quacks, go home and die, we can't do anything more for you.
And he saved them.
And he saved their life, and so he was acquitted of all the major charges. But what was really ironic, I was in my office one day, and my female supervisor there in the U.S. Marshal Service happened to walk through, and she was mumbling under her breath about Brzezinski being a quack. And I said, Lila, wait a minute. Are you a medical doctor? Do you have a medical license? She said, well, no. I said, then what gives you the right to call this man a quack?
How about that? Hey, the break's here. We'll be back. Well, next hour, Joshua P. Warren joins us with his paranormal moment. He's talking about some upcoming experiments, how to create ghosts. Oh, my. We'll be back in a moment, though, with Jonathan Emord as we talk more about the FDA and about your safety with your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go to final calls now. Truck driving in Kentucky. Joe, it's your turn on Coast to Coast with us. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, George?
Okay, sir. Thanks.
I want to thank you, Art, and Ian for being with me in a cab here so many thousands of miles.
Absolutely. So, by the way, hand me that apple, would you? It's a joke.
Okay.
In the cab. You said I was in the cab. All right, go ahead.
Myself, my brother, and my sister, we've all been diagnosed with either Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. And I'm just wondering, is there any real effective way to get rid of it, or at least treat it better than with sulfasalazine and other such things? That's pretty much it.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the benefits and one of the things we're trying to stress tonight is to give people the right to be able to help themselves. You know what I do, Jonathan? I go out and I get all these different books on remedies, including old Edgar Cayce, And I look at what they've done and what they come up with, and then I just make up my own mind and I do my own thing. And many times I've called my doctor and I've said, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? You know, he's probably going, God, here he comes again. But he gives me some pretty good feedback. He's open-minded, at least. And I think that's all you should expect from a doctor, don't you?
I agree. You know, we don't have but a fraction of the scientific knowledge necessary to deal with our own anatomies. And there's a mystique that surrounds the practice of medicine that tries to make it appear to be more determinative than it is. It is a practice. And good doctors will tell you that they just don't know. And they'll tell you that when it comes to something that's safe, that may provide a benefit, it may be worth a shot. Give it a try. And your approach is my approach, too. I use various supplements because I've read up about them, and I'm counting on them, hoping, placing a bet that they're going to improve my health. The same with different medical techniques to deal with different medical problems. I mean, we have to have that freedom. And in the case of your caller, I'm not a doctor, so I can't make a recommendation of any kind here. But I think I would look for a doctor like what you're talking about, George, someone who's open-minded, who will appreciate the problems that you're experiencing and be open-minded about, you know, the possible solutions, and will work with you to experiment to see what might help. And ultimately, that's the only way we're going to be able to resolve disease conditions that are long-term, you know, burdens for us.
Absolutely. Okay, we go to Tom in Santa Rosa, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
George, thank you for having me on. Thank you, sir, for doing the work you're doing with the FDA. I had three issues, but one of them was the Center for Disease Control is going to have a nationwide community conversation, like town hall meetings across the country coming up, for the effects of toxic chemicals on human health. And there's a report, a congressional report, that showed of the 1,400 known chemicals to affect human health, less than 6% are tracked, and even less with cancers. I have all this listed on my blog. If I could give the address, I will. But there's also a lot of the supplements can actually make you sick, or they're ineffective, or like the olive oil. There's an article, the olive oil scandal, that most olive oil is not what you expect. If you just Google organic scam, you'll find out things like they've been disposing of toxic chemicals in the fertilizers, including organic fertilizers. The highest level of perchlorate they found was in baby green organic lettuce, which was a rocket fuel additive. That was some years ago. The Environmental Working Group has a lot of reports up where they tested fruits and vegetables to see which were the most toxic and the least, and they have all that listed for free. So I didn't know if you were aware of some of these reports and what's been going on. And I have a database posted on another profile. You put in your chronic illness, and it'll tell you which toxic chemicals are known to be associated with it and give those symptoms.
I'll tell you what to do, too, Tom. If you would email your information to our webmaster, Lex at coasttocoastam.com, and let him check that out before we'll, you know, put your blog up or say anything like that. But do that, if you would. How do we know, Jonathan, that what we're buying, supplements, food, whatever, is safe?
Well, there are two functions, and the first one is a market mechanism that is really very effective, and that is branding. Branding, it's in the company's economic interest, if they want to be around for a long time, to try to design a product that's safe. Some fail because it's unintentional, and some fail because greed overwhelms the judgment of people. And these types of problems are going to be with us, and unfortunately, government is not going to be able to solve it until after it happens, regardless of what advocate of prior restraint there may be in the government. Prior restraint only works with the law abiding. Tell someone, don't make an adulterated product. It only works with those who are willing to abide by that law. Others who are bad actors may sell something adulterated. But branding works very well, so you get a name brand that you trust based on experience, or a brand like, for example, Whole Foods or something like that, where they, you know, they're scrupulously combing over products also. The other factor that you need to look to is what your caller is looking to, which is recent scientific information. We're learning new things about things that we've had that we didn't know were toxic that might be. But you have to be careful in considering that information, because you can go bonkers, like California has with Proposition 65. You can declare everything a carcinogen, even though it's the probability that it will cause cancer in the dose level that is administered to you is non-existent. There's a thing called a Paracelsian principle. Paracelsus was a Middle Ages scientist, biochemist type, who came up with a brilliant commonsensical notion, and that is that everything is toxic at some dose level. No substance is not a poison. All is a poison at some dose level. Dose is a very important factor. Some things at a very small, minute dose are toxic. Other things are not. You have to try to discern what that is. For example, with taking supplements, if you consume an enormous amount of selenium, you're going to kill yourself. Selenium in micrograms, 200 micrograms a day, is the appropriate dose. And then at that dose, it has anti-carcinogenic effects in the body. It's very health-enhancing. So that's my 2 cents.
Okay, well, it's more than 2 cents. Let's go next to Parsons, Kansas, east of the Rockies. Dick, you're on with us. Go ahead, Dick.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Jonathan, when the president appoints the head of the FDA, is he required by law to appoint an MD or a DO, or could he theoretically appoint a naturopathic doctor or a chiropractor?
He could appoint even a person who's not a doctor. He can appoint anybody he wants. He appointed Lester Crawford, and he was a DVM. Others have been appointed. But he could appoint a naturopath. He could appoint a chiropractor.
Maybe we should start a campaign to get him to do that.
Might be worthwhile.
Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Very good. Next up, we go to Youngstown, Ohio. First-time caller. Sue, it's your turn.
Hello. I'll tell you, I so enjoy this program, George. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm calling regarding another epidemic that we hear a lot about, and that is diabetes. And the thing I never hear anyone address is that long about 1995, somewhere in there, they changed the criteria for how you were judged to be a diabetic. Used to be 140 on 3 consecutive days, and that was your blood glucose. Then they lowered it to 126 on one day. And it's like all of a sudden you have an epidemic of diabetics. And it's like, well, what did you think you were going to have?
Good point.
And it's like, oh, here I am now on umpteen pills and insulin. And I'm just about to the point, none of it's working, and I'm about to the point of saying to them, bye. I'll go, I'm going to quit all of you, and we'll see what I can do by myself. They put me on a drug called Byetta, which was made out of, it's out of the spit of an iguana is where it's supposed to have originally come from, and it's a synthesis of that. And I ended up being sick. The whole time my mother was laying dying, and at that point in time, I didn't need to be the sick person, and I couldn't get anybody to listen to me that it was making me sick. And now all of a sudden, you don't hear anything more about Byetta anymore.
The spit of an iguana?
Yes. It's supposed to cause you to digest your food more slowly and keep your food in your stomach longer. And, well, it kept it in there all right. I was so sick. Huh. I wanted to throw up, but I couldn't, and I couldn't pass it. It was horrible.
I'm not sure I'd take that. Would you, Jonathan?
Well, Byetta has a very bad history. There are adverse effects that are reported, and it's one of those drugs that was approved over the objection of the FDA medical reviewers. I would go to my doctor and ask if there's an alternative to that. You might well consider going to Arizona State University to their integrative medicine clinic and looking up Dr. Randy Horowitz there. They use approaches for the treatment of disease, including diabetes, that includes traditional drug therapies, but also other methods that may be helping you in ways that just the drug therapies will not. I would say don't change your treatment, though, until you get a good medical recommendation, because diabetes is a very serious disease, and it can be lethal if gone untreated. I agree with the caller about the change in the criteria for diabetes. This is one of the approaches that's used by the drug industry so successfully in modifying criteria so that they can expand the definition of diseased people. The same sort of thing happens with the National Cholesterol Program, which is dominated by industry. They keep lowering and lowering and lowering the unsafe cholesterol level so that a perfectly normal, healthy person who's in their 20s or 30s can be declared to be one that should be on statin drugs. Statin drugs are also a catastrophe. Statin drugs block the endogenous production of coenzyme Q10 in your body, which is essential for energy production in all major cells. So here you're taking a drug to lower cholesterol, which in itself involves serious problems because cholesterol is the system by which we transport nutrients throughout the body to our cells. And that drug is blocking an essential coenzyme necessary for mitochondria energy production, increasing your risk of myopathy, including cardiomyopathy. So it could kill you of a heart ailment, cardiomyopathy, while you're taking it for your heart.
All right, let's go to another one or two more callers. Patrick in San Bernardino, California. Hey, Patrick, go ahead.
Good morning, George and John. Hey, I've had AIDS for, since 95, and HIV since 84. And I really appreciate everything you guys have been doing, especially George. I've been listening now for a few years.
Sure thing.
I'm quite worried on any of the stuff they put out there. It don't seem like they do any testing on it very long, if at all, not that I've ever heard. And I feel so much better off of those AIDS medicines. And for, like, since 93, I started taking lab work and keeping my files, and I've had consistently normal ranges on all my Chem 29s for the whole time. And I don't really understand, besides the CD4 and viral load, how I know some people get it and they go quick, but...
Well, you're taking charge of your own destiny, and that's the important thing, and that's something I think everybody should do, Jonathan.
Well, I agree. We have to be responsible for ourselves. You need to get information, and you need to understand the treatments that are being given to you or recommended to you and their side effects, and you need to make the call. I mean, it is your life, and it's your destiny, and it needs to be your choice, and you need to be fully informed to make that choice.
Okay, we go to Erica in Merced, California. Erica, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
I just was listening and hearing the gentleman call about his gout. Cinnamon, my dog is barking. I'm sorry.
Yes,
and,
he is.
other dogs are barking outside, and she feels the need.
We get a lot of dogs that
call. Okay, she's, so. Yeah. Okay, well, I just wanted to suggest that for the gout and even the diabetes and the last gal, what was she complaining about?
All kinds of things.
Okay, well, a vegan diet will basically cure almost every ailment out there. If you cut the animal products out of your diet, your symptoms will be alleviated, if not, like, completely go away.
Well, maybe for some people, not everybody.
My boyfriend had gout, and the only change we did was the diet, and it went away. He has not had a symptom since.
What you probably did was changed his alkaline acidity level in his system, and that probably helped it a lot, a lot. Jonathan, with the remaining minute or so that we've got with you, tell us a little bit about your works, where you can get it, and the fact that you're giving 10% away to this fund.
Well, thank you for that, George. The two books are Global Censorship of Health Information and The Rise of Tyranny. You can find out a lot more about government corruption in this area and about the solutions to these problems, how we can restore a republic and eliminate the bureaucratic oligarchy. Those books you can obtain from Amazon.com. You can have a direct and secure link from my website at emord.com. The books are on the left in the column on the homepage, and you can directly link in and purchase those books. If you do so, you're helping out this struggle because 10% of the proceeds from the purchase go to the litigation fund to help us fight FDA censorship and get into the market the information that you need to be sovereign people and take control over your own health, which is your right. And thank you for that, George.
How big of a problem is this in terms of the public knowing what the FDA is up to?
It's a big problem. It's a big problem with all of the bureaucracy. They get away with everything because it happens without public view. The real sad story is that you have this circus going on in Congress and at the White House, and it draws the media attention. And you think that you're being concerned with the most important news of the day. But the most important news of the day, the stuff that actually causes law that affects your life and your choices, is taking place almost exclusively in the bureaucracy. And that happens only in publication in the Federal Register and largely without anyone's notice. It's a tragedy. It is. They have achieved the creation of a hidden government that is a bureaucratic oligarchy that is taking our liberties away. And the who you vote into office, Republican or Democratic person, makes virtually no difference.
They're all on the same team, aren't they?
They are. The head of the FDA will be the head of the FDA likely after Obama. If he's not, there'll be someone else who'll be virtually identical in their composition. The mission of the agency, which is the agenda that they have to protect the pharmaceutical industry, goes on, whether it's a Republican administration or a Democratic administration. It is the government.
Well, I'm glad we've got you out there, Jonathan, as a watchdog, to be sure. Thank you so much for being on the program. Up next, Joshua Warren, his paranormal moment on Coast to Coast AM.